Let's pray, and then we got some cool stuff to talk about, all right? Hope you guys are ready, because it's getting close. So let's pray. Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I love the fact that you choose to use us to reach people for you. And God, I pray that as we continue moving forward, preparing for this trip, God, I just pray that your hand would be over everything, every aspect of it. God, the planning, the organization, the finances, Lord, our hearts, most importantly. God, I pray that we would all be prepared to do, Lord, as we talked about today, be prepared to do whatever it takes, God, and whatever it is that you're calling us to do on this trip. So I pray you'd give us understanding and focus, clarity, and unity together as a team. So God, just meet with us now. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this is our next to last meeting. Funny enough, we're getting really, really close. And so we're going to talk about some logistics today, but we definitely want to start off with our minds, our hearts in the right place. We know our verse, our vision for this trip. So it says in Acts 1:8, you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We hopefully have an understanding of the calling and of what this means for us, and are taking this seriously in terms of, like, this is not just a trip that's just fun to hang out with everybody. While it is going to be that and all of that, that's not the core. And for all of us to understand that and to just be reminded of the high calling of being a part of a missions trip, it's not just something to take flippantly. So let's talk about some logistics here for a minute. Accommodations and travel. The trip is Sunday, July 1st through Friday, July 6th. So it's what they are considering a short week, just so you know. Now, I need some help handing these out. This is a lot of information, and so I want to make sure that you guys get all of this and you don't lose it. So I need two people to hand these out, please. So there's the whole stack. You can divide it up to somebody else, and you guys can hand them out. So this is the welcome packet from Next Step Ministries, and this has a lot of the answers to probably a lot of the questions that you have. There is a PDF of this available on the website right now, connect316.com/missions. So when and if a few of you leave this sitting here, as some of you will, and you need to get it because you have questions or whatever, you can jump on the website and download it. We are going to go through this together right now, and we're not going to go through every single page, but we're going to go through some of it, all right? So I only want you to turn to the pages I tell you to right now, and you can read the rest later for homework. But we're leaving the church Sunday morning. I don't know what time we're getting back Friday night, just so that we're all clear on that. I'm not totally sure what time that's going to be happening, because we're still working on a few things for that Friday to see what that might entail. All right, so just to answer that one. So turn to page 8 for me, if you could. Look at the little foot on the bottom and turn to the one that has an 8 in it. It's right before the weekly schedule, which we will flip to next. This page on page 8 talks about lodging in terms of where we are staying. We are staying at Clendenin First Baptist Church, which is in Clendenin, West Virginia. So it's going to be really close to all the projects that we're working on. And it's got information there about girls sleeping, guys sleeping, bathrooms, all of that stuff. There is air conditioning, bathrooms indoor for adults, bathrooms outdoor for students. There's a shower trailer. So we will get to bathe, but you know what? It's a missions trip. So we'll just have to see what this looks like. Internet, it says for leaders only, but to be honest, we probably won't have a ton of time for that as it is. So this is where we're going to be eating. It's where we're going to be worshiping. Good stuff there. So you can read through that. The girls, it says we'll use half the gym for sleeping, and the other half will be used for different things there. Guys are sleeping on the floor in the church basement, so everyone should bring their own air mattress or cot. If you don't have an air mattress, they have them at Walmart for $15. I was there yesterday, all right? And then they've even got the what we'll call the Noland air mattresses that are like super awesome and inflate themselves, and I think Sleep Number makes them. But those are a little more pricey, but they have those if you don't want to worry about a pump or any of that kind of stuff, and you're going to be on it every night. So that's up to you. You could spend anywhere from $15 to like $75 on an air mattress. So that's up to you, but make sure that you bring one, unless you're good with sleeping on a concrete floor. So that's all up to you guys, but here's everything for that. So look through this and flip to the next page now, because I want to talk about the schedule and other stuff. So page 9 and 10 here, this is the weekly schedule. Now, I want you to keep this schedule in mind, because we are the 1 week that they consider a short week, because our trip only goes through Friday. So this Friday that says free day is actually Thursday for us, okay? This says, well, wait a minute. Yeah, so we're going to be Monday through Sunday, and Monday through Wednesday, I believe is correct, but Friday, they have like a free day activity on here, and then they leave the next day. We're not doing a free day like activity with them. The Clendenin movie night that says, is it 6 o'clock on Friday on that, if you see that on page 9, that's actually on Thursday, the week that we're there, okay? So our week is a little bit more condensed. And then Friday, we're going to get up, basically get up, pack up, and leave. So just keep that in mind, that everything's almost like backed up a day here. But it's still going to be a great week. So don't look at that as like it's not. It's just slightly different because of the week that we're going. So this is your schedule there. Getting up at 7 every day, breakfast 7:15 to 8. It's a lot like a Mission Akron schedule for those of you that went on that. We're heading off to the work sites at 8, 8:15. We'll have lunch and devotion on the work site, clean and return home, 4:30 showers, free time, adult leader meeting, 6 o'clock dinner, from 6:45 to 8, free time and shower time if you want to shower again or whatever, 8 to 9:30 worship, 8:30 to 11 church time, small groups, free time, all that stuff, lights out at 11, all right? So that's kind of what most of the days are going to look like. We will probably be arriving to, this says Heritage Baptist Church, but that's old because that's where they were going to stay, and now it's Clendenin First Baptist. So on the Sunday thing, we'll be arriving at Clendenin First Baptist Church sometime around 3-ish, somewhere in there. So we'll probably take a packed lunch with us. I'll probably have lunches made for us before we go, so that we don't have to stop and deal with the whole, like, let's all try to go through McDonald's or whatever. Like, instead of trying to deal with that, I'll probably just have lunches made. So at the next meeting, I'll probably take orders from everybody about that. Lauren, if I don't remember that, help me remember that about getting lunch orders next time, if you don't mind, because I did not write that down. So there's that. I want you to flip to the next page, page 10, page 11. Page 10 talks about waking up time, worship, and all of those things, and you can read through that and what that's going to look like. Probably nothing surprising there. What to bring list is on page 11, all right? What to bring list there. It does say swimming suit. That is potentially going to be needed. I'm not 100% sure yet, and that's all I'll say right now. So you might as well leave that on the list. I'll tell you at the next meeting if that's actually going to be a thing, because I got to find out some more stuff. But there's kind of a what to bring list on there for you to go by, because everybody likes to have those. Definitely you want work gloves, safety glasses, and a hammer. Everybody bring those, all right? Safety glasses, work gloves, and a hammer. Everybody have their own of those. Turn to page 12, please. We're going to go over the electronics policy and dress code. That's all right there. Just keep in mind that this is a missions trip and that we are representing the Lord. And so there's a few things here that when it comes to shirts, as it says there on the right. All participants should wear either short sleeve or long sleeve t-shirt on the work project. Probably not going to wear a long sleeve shirt, but tank tops, sleeveless shirts are not allowed during the day, so that we all know that. Serving from 8 to 4. You may wear tank tops or sleeveless shirts in the evening during free time, dinner, and worship after. No spaghetti strap tank tops, Ben, or ripped or ripped, torn, cut-off shirts. All sleeveless shirts must have a hem. All right? Wear modest pants or shorts at all times on the trip. So, you know, girls, we don't want the booty shorts. Leggings are not pants. Those don't count either. Shorts should be mindful of the length. Follow the fingertip length rule as, you know, rule of thumb there. And it explains that. You guys know that. Spandex pants, shorts are not allowed on the mission trip at any time. This includes yoga pants or spandex athletic shorts, so that everybody is aware. All right? Leggings are not pants, period. Do not put them in your bag. Don't bring them. Don't throw them on at night at free time. It's just not a thing. It's not happening. All right? That's their rules. And I would agree with it on a trip like this. Bathing suits, ladies must wear one piece or wear a t-shirt over the two-piece to swim, when and if we swim, and I'll let you guys know about that at the next meeting. Guys must wear swim trunks that are long enough for the fingertip length rule mentioned above. Preferably not. No. Definitely no. Tools. Page 13 there. This is where I'm going to ask for any and all help on this one. This isn't like you don't all have to bring a reciprocating saw. That's not what this is saying. These are things that as a team we need to bring with us that can be borrowed and then we can bring back. So if your dad or somebody, you know, grandpa or whatever is, you know, has a lot of tools or things like that and could be without them for a while, you know, for a week of the trip, these are some things that we need to bring to help with everybody. I guess all the churches need to bring these things. So cordless drills, corded power drill, circular saws, miter saw, reciprocating saw, extension cords. Extension cords I can get from the church, so I'm not too worried about extension cords. I can take ours. But any of the other tools, if anybody is able to say, hey, yeah, my dad will let us take his miter saw or whatever, let me know, and I'll put you guys on the list because we're going to start working on that over the next month between now and the next meeting. I'd like to kind of have that solidified so that we know that we've got it all. I don't want to worry about it a week before the trip or while we're at camp or anything like that. So nail guns are not allowed. So, yeah, don't say, hey, I got a nail gun. Because I'll say, that's cool. Leave it. So there is that, all right? The rest of this is definitely stuff that you can look through if you'd like. Construction safety and all that, they're going to go over that stuff with us when we're there. Hang on to this, all right? As I said, if you lose it, there's a PDF on the website, and you can download it and print as many as you want. And I've got a few extras up here as well. If you want to take another one home or you lose it and Wednesday you come in and you want to grab it, let me know there, okay? So those are all important things. Expectations and requirements, you guys know these as well. And we need to adhere to these also. So please be communicating with me on these when it comes to this stuff. Let's talk about volunteer hours for a second. Those are due by the next meeting. All right, so we need to get those in by the next meeting. If you help with childcare for the VBS training meeting that is happening on May 20th, that is not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, if you want to help with childcare for that meeting, it's right after church. You could jump on the .info and sign up for that. That will count as volunteer hours. If you did not sell strawberries, but you want to come in and help us dip them next this coming Saturday, we've got to make a bunch for all the moms. Because we're handing out strawberries for the moms, I will give you volunteer hours for that. If I put you with that crew, you can get volunteer hours for that because you're not making money from that. You're volunteering and helping. Yes, ma'am.
If you're helping with VBS, like, how do you sign up for that?
To help out with VBS?
Yeah.
The .info. ABT316.info. Yeah.
Like, sign up
Yep, you could sign up everything right there. You can do it on your phone and sign up for helping with the meeting, which is the training meeting next week. But also, if you just help with VBS, if you want to help with VBS, I will count that definitely, because that's something that they always need. So you could probably get a majority of your hours helping with VBS if you want to do that. It's the 10th through the 13th of the June month. All of it will count toward hours if you need them. Okay? So don't forget about our attendance as well. We're not all doing the best on that. And we really need to do our best there. A lot of you are communicating with me well when you've got circumstances beyond your control. And I take that into account as well. Because I know some of you, like, if you don't have a car, you don't have a car. It's not your fault. But we need to do good there. Training meetings, final meeting, June 24th, noon to 2, right here. That's when we will finalize everything, and we'll have it ready, and that will be 2 weeks before we go, all right? Individual participant form. How many of you got the email with the link for the individual participant form? If you did not, that's because you didn't check your email. So check your email. Make sure that you get that filled out. Next Step needs that from us. I need that filled out by the next meeting from everybody. Your parents should probably do it because it'll be easier for you to do it. Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Good to know that church is junk to you. Yeah. I'm just kidding. No. It's actually, Pastor Bob had that too, with a couple things. So I don't know. Maybe they changed the algorithm within ABT Central or something, and everybody's getting it as junk mail. But yeah, make sure you check your email. Even if you don't check your email, you can go on connect316.com/missions, and there is a big button right there that says individual participant form. Fill that out and have that done. It does have some of the requirements and stuff on there. Let me say this. If you don't have medical insurance, or maybe you don't know that you have medical insurance, it is required. You must have medical insurance to go on this trip. Next Step requires it. If you do not, talk to me, because there's a place that I can send you to where you can get a short-term policy for $29. All right? There's somebody else that I'm going to have to do that with, and that's fine. You can do that, and that will count. That is Next Step's requirements. So if you don't have medical insurance, you don't need to feel like, oh, crap. No, you can get that for $29. That's your responsibility to do that. But that's something that is available that will cover you perfectly fine for that. So make sure you sign up for that and get that all taken care of. Cost is $500 a person, and the final payment is due by next Sunday. So if you don't know where you are, if you need your numbers or whatever, you could talk to Lauren here. We're going to take a break here in just a second, and you can get your final number if you need to get that, so that you can get all the money in by next week, because we have to have it by next week. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. All right? Everybody good so far? I'll have time for questions here at the end. Thought I would show you something cool. These are our shirts.
Wow, I love them.
Going with a really minimalistic design. Or that. That was my bad. So these are one of the shirts, because we got two. All right. These are one of the shirts. These are the ones that Next Step is.
Is that purple?
It's purple. All right. Yeah. No purple. Except for our shirt. But it says Reckless Love. That's the theme. That's the theme for the trip this year, for what Next Step is providing with the devotionals and all that stuff. The theme is Reckless Love. So all the churches will have the opportunity to buy this shirt. Okay, so I've already ordered one for all of you. So we will get, I don't know if we'll get those before we go or if we'll get them when we get there. I can't remember. I think it's when we get there. But when we actually go, we'll all be wearing these. So these are just us. So these are our shirts, and we will have these before we go. So we can wear these Sunday morning, in the bridge when Pastor Ed prays us out. We'll have these on, and we'll... Oh, good. Good. Because I was a little concerned because it's a little outside the box design for me. Yeah, I designed them. Every day the rest of your life. You heard that.
Yes.
All right. Do you want a couple of them, or do you want to just wear one?
Seven.
You. Wow. You really thought through this a lot, like right now. She's going to be like the reverse Steve Jobs. The only thing she ever wears, this shirt the rest of your life. You're welcome. He only wore a black shirt and jeans, and that's all he ever wore. All right, anyway, fundraising is, this is our last one, as well as the support letters. If you're sending out support letters, you could do those as well. But chocolate-covered strawberries for Mother's Day. Profits amount I do not have right now, and this is what makes it a little tough doing this close, because I don't know how much profit you're making per box. How many of you sold them? All right. I will not be able to tell you how much money we're making per box, honestly, until I go buy the strawberries on Friday, because I don't know how many I'm going to need, because I don't know how many you guys sold. So, and even when I do send you the number, it's going to be more of a guesstimate than an exact. And I know that kind of sucks, but that's the best I can do, because until we actually like have literally all the receipts, I can't do like straight up like legit math and tell you like we made $8.12 per box or whatever that's going to be. So I'm going to give you probably a conservative number, like a whole dollar amount, for you to be able to do the math so that you know coming in next Sunday, you can go, okay, because of what I did on strawberries, I know I need a check for blank. You know what I'm saying? So check your email on Friday, and I will send you that number as soon as I possibly can. It's probably going to be toward the evening when I get that all put together, because I got to find out from Kristen how much she's spending on chocolate. So there's that. So I will send you guys a number as soon as possible. Check your email. Check your junk mail for that number. And then you can do some math there. And if need be, we can talk about it Saturday morning when we're dipping as well. Okay. So of course, you know, the website, as I mentioned, everything is on the website for you to find. Everything is there. All of the forms, all of the everything, for you to, anything that you feel like you're losing or forgetting. The only thing that's not posted there is how much you have in your account, because we don't want that out there for the world. So if you need to know that number after today, you could text me, you can text Learn, and either one of us can get you that. But start on the website first, because probably every question you have an answer to will be there, and you don't need to, you know, wait for me to get back to you or whatever. The only thing that won't be will be how much you have in your account. So with that, what questions can I answer right now, Learn? The individual participant form? Yes. Yes. Yep, there's a link on the website for that. Anything else? Mike?
The church sticking arrangements and all that, are we sharing out with all the other churches as well?
Yes. Yep. I guess. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, we'll all be like all, as from my understanding of it, yes, all the guys. And by all the guys, that means all the guys that are coming and all the girls. Divided up that way. Anything else? Yes?
Is that like worst groups? Are we going with different churches?
I do not know that. That's a good question. I would assume so. I would assume that they're just going to kind of mix us up and send, because when you do that individual participant form, when you look at that, they're going to ask you on that form about your skills, about what things maybe you have experience in. So like, have you done woodworking? Have you done plumbing? Have you done, because you just never know. You know what I mean? I unchecked everything. So they're probably just going to say, you sit in a van. I'll just be praying. I'll be on the prayer team. Yeah. I have experience in trees falling on my vehicles.
And I'm also like your leader.
anyways, they're asking you questions about your skills, so please be honest with that, because they're probably going to use that. Actually, that's a great question, because they're probably going to use that to divide us up on, like, depending on a per project basis. You know, if you have done woodworking, if you've done drywall, if you've done, you know, electrical, if you've done plumbing, whatever, they're gonna want to put you in places. If you're like, I've mowed the grass, that's fine, but let them know that. That doesn't mean that they won't put you on a project that maybe you can learn a few skills, but maybe something a little simpler, as opposed to like I've roofed an entire house before, so I know how to do that to a degree, you know, and things like that. So they might put me on a roofing project. That was actually one of the worst projects I ever did, because it was in the middle of the desert in Arizona. But yeah, it was learning experience. And it was a mission trip. But anyways, know what you know. So when you're doing this form with your parents, because there's a few aspects of it that your parents are probably just going to need to do, because it'll be easier with the insurance information and all of that. But you may want to sit down with your parent and fill that out to see. Yes? That's a good question. Let me find out on that one. And here's the reason they're saying that. That it's not that this is a legalistic organization that we're with, or that they're like a KJV only kind of thing, because if it was, we wouldn't be going. I'll just tell you that right now. What it is that the it has more to do with a cultural thing down there, because there are some people in that area, it's just kind of the area where it is, that have grown up a little bit that way. And there are some people down there that could be a disconnect. If we, you know, if we talk to them and we're talking to them about Jesus, and they might be the kind of family that, you know, are feeling a little bit that way. That doesn't mean that you just walk, because even though they may not be believers, they may be like, well, how come what you're reading doesn't have these, thous, and those in it? That might be a disconnect for them. And so we need to, you know, kind of the all things to all people. And that also, you know, applies. It's not that KJV is a bad translation. It almost comes off that way when I'm saying it, because it's not. It's a good translation. The reason we don't use it is because I don't use it in Connect, at least very often, is just because of the, you know, the relevancy factor of it. You guys don't speak with these, thous, and those when you talk to each other. And so I want to communicate God's word to you in a way that's, you know, not compromising the integrity of the Word of God, but is also speaking a little bit more of how you actually speak from an understanding perspective. So that's why they're saying that, is because there might be some people down there that's a big disconnect from. We don't need to necessarily start a holy war over a translation issue, because it's not really about that. Anything else? Good question. Anything else? Anything at all? Okay. Yes, Mike. Who's driving how many vans? We got 3 vans. I don't know who's driving. If you would like to be a driver, you can. If you don't want to be, you can. If Diana, no students are driving. Period. My guess is, I guess I was assuming it'd probably be me, you, and Mike, if that's cool. But it doesn't have to be. If you'd prefer not to drive, we can figure it out. Yeah. If Diana wants to drive, yeah. Or Mikey or whatever, we can take turns, honestly. But yeah, it's us. It'll be from the same place. Yeah, I don't know if it'll be the exact same vans. But yeah, same style. 15 passengers. We've got them reserved from the same guy and all that. As of right now, no. I think we're going to be able to get everything into 3 vans. If we need to, we've got our Connect trailer that I can have the van. I can have one of the church trucks hooked up to it, and they could bring it down behind us if we really need to. I haven't really gotten that far yet with it. I don't know if we're going to need it. We might need it for luggage and tools. These tools aren't very big, though. You know what I mean? They're not asking for like a table saw or something, you know, crazy. So I don't know, but with the amount of luggage, since we are going to be there for a week, may want to consider it. That's something I'll yeah, I mean, we can figure it out. And also, because it's three vans, it's three vans, which they're 15 passengers, so they seat 45, but we're not taking 45 people. You know what I mean? We're only taking, 30, 33. So there may be, maybe we just pack almost everybody into two vans, and then we have one van that's basically luggage and tools, you know? Yeah. Are we limiting bags? We probably should. Yeah. We probably should. Yeah. Probably just one bag, you know. Granted, it's got to be a big, but yeah, don't come rolling up with like your roll away luggage and all that. Like, we're not probably going to have room for that. But that's a good question too. Anything else? Everybody feeling good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I am.
Anything else? Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that here. All right, let's take a 5-minute break. Everybody check in, and then we'll come back and finish up the meeting, okay? All right, if you have the welcome packet, please put that one down and have the packet in your hand that says Zealous Developer on the front. Thank you. Danke. Ja, gut. All right, let's pray as we go into this part, all right? Let's pray. Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I thank you again for this trip and for this chance that we get to be your hands and feet. Lord, I pray that as we not only deal with the logistics that we've talked about, but Lord, now as we talk about the spiritual training and preparing our hearts and our minds the right way for what you want us to do, God, I pray that we can be focused here. And Lord, that you can help to develop us so that we can be the best that we can be and to be prepared as best as we can be to show your love. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this entire portion of the meetings have been devoted to having a mission mindset, And this is probably the most important thing, is for us to have that mindset and that thought pattern of exactly what we're doing and why we're doing this. The goal of the training is for us to develop that unified mission mindset. And the four core values that we've talked about and understanding them in terms of the community we're going to be ministering in. And so these are the ones that we're looking at over the course of all four meetings. So the first meeting was Humble Servant. Second one, Fervent Listener. That was the last meeting. And then today, a Zealous Developer. And next meeting, we'll be talking about a Discontent Ambassador and what that really means. And these are kind of wordy, but they're also hopefully going to be able to stick in your mind. But we're diving into each one of these core values and developing what the ideas look like. We got scripture, and we're going to divide into our connection groups here in a few minutes as well and talk through these, because there are questions on the back of this that we're going to get into. So if you look on your packet on the very front, there's a verse there. We're just really going to go through this together for a minute. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 26. And the translation that's there is The Voice. And so it just brings a little new... a little bit of a different flavor to this verse for us to help to understand it. It says, this is where God comes in. God has meticulously put this body together. He placed each part in the exact place to perform the exact function he wanted. If all members were a single part, where would the body be? Okay, time out. What's he talking about when he says the body? Is that like your physical body?
No.
It's the church, right? So it's all of us. We are the church. This is the body that's being talked about. So how many members function within one body? The eye cannot wail at the hand. I have no need for you, nor could the head bellow at the feet. I won't go one more step with you. It's actually the opposite. The members who seem to have the weaker functions are necessary to keep the body moving. Body parts that seem less important, we treat as some of the most valuable. And those unfit, untamed, unpresentable members we treat with an even greater modesty. something the more presentable members don't need, but God designed the body in such a way that greater significance is given to the seemingly insignificant part. That way, there should be no division in the body. Instead, all the parts mutually depend on and care for one another. If one part is suffering, then all the members suffer alongside of it. If one member is honored, then all the members celebrate alongside it. It's funny because this idea of the body and of the different parts, and I know we've probably heard this passage before and looked at it, but I'll tell you what, God gave me like a really interesting reminder of this just a couple of days ago. I literally dropped a small sledgehammer like this big right on my toe, on my left pinky toe right here, like the most insignificant toe that you would think, right? And literally all day, I had Val bring me other shoes and I haven't changed them yet just because I think my toe's numb at this point, but like it hurts kind of like walking in these shoes. And it's funny because you don't think about your pinky toe until you drop a hammer on it and until your little boy, Wilson, comes up to me and goes, "Dad, can we wrestle?" And I'm like, "I can't, buddy, because like my stupid little pinky, like if I get down and wrestle with him the way that I'm used to like wrestling, like, you know, that we wrestle and stuff, like it's gonna like hurt." And I'm like, you know, he come up to hug me this morning, like stood on my foot, and I'm like, you know, "Hi, buddy," you know, and I'm like, "Ugh," like he didn't know, and it's all good. But like, it's so funny, the idea of that, because it's so, but we think of different of ourselves sometimes and the insignificant parts, but there are no insignificant parts, because it's very obvious to me how significant my pinky toe is right now, because it's kind of hurting right now, to be honest with you. And so this is one of the big ideas that we're talking about here, is this idea of the body and the body of Christ and all of us being an important part of this. And that idea being put into who we're ministering to and bringing them alongside of what we're doing. And you're going to see that a little bit here as we go through. So this idea of a zealous developer, what makes a zealous developer? Somebody tell me what the word zealous means. What does that mean? Anybody know what that means? What's that? Kind of eager. Yeah, you're on the right track. Anybody? Anybody got any way that you want to describe it? Somebody that's zealous? Here's what I got, the definition. It's an adjective. It says, full of, characterized by, or due to zeal, ardently active, devoted, or diligent. That's the part that like really sticks out. Somebody that's ardently active, devoted, or diligent. So diligently developing, being a devoted developer of ourselves and of others. That's really in many ways what we're talking about. So we got focus points for the topic that are going to help us to look at that. So the first one is to cultivate relationships. Cultivate relationships. That's on your paper there. Our work must extend beyond physical buildings and reach into the lives of the hearts and the people. It's part of our core value as a church, is the building relationships. That is really the most important thing that we're doing here, seeking to expand the kingdom of Christ in the hearts of all the people. And I love this one that it says in that paragraph that's there about it. Construction is a platform to build relationships. Construction is a platform to build relationships. And that can be phased into various things that maybe you've even been a part of before within missions trips and within other things that we do. Like, the point of Gladiator Games is not just for somebody to get a t-shirt. Like, it's cool, but it's a means to an end, right? It's the real win with Gladiator Games is those that come to accept Christ and have that have eternal life, right? That's the real win. That's the score that really matters. And you don't even keep score of that. Because that's not right either. But take time during your workday to step back from construction and interact with community members. That doesn't mean we slough off and that we, you know, are like not having good work ethic. Because I'll tell you what, our team will have good work ethic. I'm telling you right now, we will. We will work hard. That is not an option for you. If you're going to be on a team and you're going to go on a missions trip with me, you're going to have good work ethic. You're going to work hard, okay? Because if you don't, I will pull you aside and we will talk about it. But if you're cultivating a good relationship with somebody, you can do both, and that's important, all right? To take time during a workday to interact with the community members, part of the body of Christ, believing that each part is valuable to the overall function of the body. you are going to get stories from people. You're going to get to know people. You're going to have conversations with people. And yes, like, be empathetic. Dig in and get to know them. You know, as it says here at the bottom, you know, cry with them or celebrate with them if need be. That's exactly how it works. That's part of cultivating relationships with people. Construction is a means to an end there. Number two, potential versus plight. Potential versus plight. So a lot of these communities, you've got statistics, as it says on here, that are talking about poverty, alcoholism, unemployment, suicide, storm damage, homelessness, disease, all of those things. If that was your, think about this for a second, if that was what you were known for, how would you feel? You know, some people come in to help you and you realize that maybe the stereotype or statistics about where you're at, about being impoverished and unemployed and all of them, all those things, if that's your reputation, put yourselves in that mind frame. As humans, we don't want to have, you know, that sort of label thrown on us. Nobody really likes that. And so we need to have a different perspective in talking to people, not looking at them from that perspective. Because our perspective and the way that we treat people, the way that we treat those that are there, is going to directly have an effect on the spiritual help that could maybe be brought in. And then to be able to, as it says here, step beyond the statistics, although those statistics are accurate, interact with people in the community in a way that lifts them up as a significant part of the body of Christ, because every part is important, regardless of where they come from. Just like each and every one of you are important to this trip. Every single person that we're going to be coming in contact with down there is important, because the idea of the developer, of the zealous developer, is not to come in, as we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, and just drop in and help and walk off. You've heard the idea of teaching somebody to fish, as opposed to just like fishing for them. I know I'm totally getting that wrong. I'm totally jacking that up, but you know what I'm saying. Like, you teach somebody to fish, as opposed to just handing them a fish, and you're developing a skill for the rest of their life. It's that idea. Empowerment versus dependency is number three here. And this is that idea. Empowerment versus dependency. Short-term missions done effectively can empower community as opposed to supplying ongoing assistance to the community. Being empowered to do it, that's leadership. That's development. Empowering somebody to do it. The goal is to work ourselves into a role within each community that will help the community move from dependency to active participation in the process of rebuilding itself. It's why, like, things here at the church and within Connect, why we love to, like, get somebody back there to run the computer and to run the sound and to play in the band and all of that, to give you guys the ownership of this, makes it better, right? Because then you're actively participating in it. You're part of making the culture happen. And that's what this is talking about. That's this idea of empowerment versus dependency. Take the time during your trip to work alongside the family for which we are building for and teach them or mutually learn construction skills. You may be working with somebody that, you know, there may be somebody at a house or whatever, and you're helping them work on their house, and they have no idea what they're doing, and maybe you don't either. And that's okay. Maybe the two of you building a relationship, learning how to do drywall, and you're helping them put their house back together or whatever that might look like, as opposed to just telling them, step off, we got this. Not that you would say it in that way, but you understand the difference? There's a difference there in empowerment versus dependency. Understand that offering someone, I love this, 5 minutes of your time to teach is much more valuable and sustainable than giving away $5 in cash. That's very, very true. So that's number three. Number four, development versus relief. Development versus relief. Relief within the community creates a provider-receiver relationship. one that discredits what a local individual may have to offer in the process of rebuilding and replacing it with what an outsider provides or gives to that individual. Development within a community is walking with people, building relationships, taking time to listen, creating opportunities, focusing on efforts that go beyond your work, beyond 1 week, and help sustainable change within the community. That's one of the great things about Next Step that I really loved about them, is they're not just about dropping in and just doing a fun little project and walking out. These are projects that we're going to be working on. This isn't just like, oh, this is a cool, fun project that would be nice. No, we will be working on projects that are helping the community in a very like real way. Like, these are things that they need to get done in the community. It's not just like stuff. It's not just creating stuff to do. These are actually like real things that are helping the community. It says, instead of rejecting the offer, we encourage you to invite each community member into the building and the serving process. Collectively build, learn, and serve. That's an important thing. Number five, the fifth one, asset-based versus needs-based approach. Good grief. These are tongue twisters. So a needs-based approach would be asking a community member, what do you need? What do you need? Which is fine, but it gives this kind of savior mentality and kind of a dependency mentality, as opposed to seeing maybe what that community member has, what they have available, and encouraging them to use what they have already within the community, finding ways to involve the community during the trip is going to be something that we should be looking for, as opposed to like, what can we just drop in and hand you? What maybe is there that we can help, you know, redo or use that's already there? So we'll see what that looks like. So those are the five. Those are the five that we're looking at today with being a zealous developer. And again, it's that mission mindset. It's helping to develop that mission mindset that we all need to have. And these five things, I'm hoping that you guys will keep these in mind, that you will read through these packets. That's why I'm giving them to you. You'll read through these packets maybe again. And we're going to divide up into groups here in just a minute. And talk through these things a little bit more. But key takeaway, let me just read this for you. As the body of Christ, we have the opportunity to become zealous developers through the way that we interact with the community that we are serving. Simply becoming aware of these concepts is a great start, but you have the opportunity to be a part of empowering a community and to extend your services beyond 1 week through pouring yourself into the people, resources, leadership, and skills that already exist in the community. As zealous developers, we're compelled to serve in a way that empowers the community. We believe in the people of this community and view them as a valuable part within the body of Christ. Here's the key takeaway for me with all of that. To put it in my own words, perspective is everything. Perspective is everything. Your perspective going into this trip, your perspective going into these projects, if your perspective is let's just get it done, that's not the right perspective to have. Yes, we should get it done, but what are we doing to involve maybe the people that God has put us there to talk to minister to build a relationship with, to help with whatever is there, to not just be maybe so laser focused on just getting that piece of drywall up, but the person that lives in that house, are we developing a relationship with them? Are we allowing them to be a part of that? Or are we just the construction crew? We're not just the construction crew, right? We're being the witnesses of Jesus. We're doing exactly what he's called us to do, and the vehicle that we're doing this through is the construction and the worksite projects. That's a different perspective. That's a different perspective. So let's have that, because perspective is everything. So these are our connection groups. These are our connection groups, and they're not moving around. We are sticking with these so that you know. So we have some discussion questions that are on the back that I think would be good for us to sit down and talk through within our groups together and just let you guys talk instead of just me and get our brains and our minds in the right place, preparing us for that. Maybe any other questions that have come up between now and then, but hopefully you guys know that these are your groups and who you're with and all of that. So let's also pray within the groups as well. These are the things that we need to be praying for. It'd be nice for everybody to pray at least for a quick second, all right, as we go through and we wrap up our groups. So let's all just kind of dismiss in prayer together. And if you have questions or anything like that, I'll be hanging out afterwards until everybody's done. Anybody have any questions that maybe everybody could benefit from real quick, or are we just good to dismiss? All right, let's divide into our groups then, and we'll go from there.